When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Asking the right questions can greatly impact your future, especially when it comes to your finances. So if you're looking for a financial advisor you can trust, certified financial planner professionals are committed to acting in your best interest. That's why it's got to be a CFP. Find your CFP professional at letsmakeaplan.org.
Hey guys, back at the playground again, huh?
Yep. You know what this playground could use? A wine country.
Heck yeah, and some waves so we could go surfing.
Oh, yeah. Ah, love that.
A redwood forest would be cool.
I'm in.
Ah, ski slopes.
Let's do it.
Can a girl go shopping?
Yeah, baby.
Wait. Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.
Welcome back, everybody. It's the Fantasy Pros Dynasty Fantasy Football Podcast brought to you by Reality Sports Online. I'm your host, Scott Bogman. Follow me on the Twitter at Bogman Sports. I'm joined, as always, by Pat Fitzmorris at Fitz underscore FF on the Twitter machine. Fitzy, how's the summer treating you? I mean, training camp's here. We had one preseason game already. A bunch are coming this weekend. Where are you on the excitement level right now?
Pretty high, Boggs. Summer is pretty much over with the Hall of Fame game. Like, I always go on this golf trip with friends, like the Hall of Fame game weekend, and that's pretty much it. The last blast. Come back from that. Yep, summer's over.
Shane is joining us again at Shane is the Worst. You know him from Dynasty Trades podcast, Trades in Five. He's all over the place here. Of course, Dynasty Data NFL, Fantasy Data NFL, excuse me. Shane, how have you been since we had you on the show? And how's your summer treating you? Are you ready for the season to actually start?
It feels like it's been ages since I've been on the show. I don't even know when that was. So I'm just going to lie and say everything's been great and awesome. But Pat, the summer's not over yet. We've got one more giant, huge event before the summer is over.
This weekend.
The Fantasy Football Expo.
Yes.
I wish I could join you guys. I will not be able to attend, but you guys are going to have a great time. I mean, honestly, that is why my whole weekend is free, because everyone I know is going to the expo. So, it's going to be a fun, exciting time. I'm sure you guys will meet up and have a drink. I'll send you all some money. Have a drink on me. So
we'll have one in your honor, Boggs, for sure.
Of course, please. Today up on the show, we're going to be doing sell highs. So, you know, last week we looked at buy lows, and now we're going to look at the negative side of this. So, of course, we brought Shane on to talk about some negatives. It's going to be a lot of fun. But before we get to the action, I got to remind you guys, we have a giveaway right now for Christian Watson autographed jersey we're doing this month. All you need to do is subscribe to our YouTube channel, youtube.com/fantasypros. Go on there, take a screenshot of yours that you have subscribed. Submit it to fantasypros.com/dynasty contest. That's fantasypros.com/dynasty contest. You're entered in to win. Do it as soon as possible, because this ends at the end of the month. Get that Christian Watson jersey. And just a reminder that not just this show, but all of our other podcasts and shows and quick hitting feeds and live streams are all on our YouTube, youtube.com/fantasypros. Please subscribe if you like our content. It really helps us out. And go ahead and click that bell so you don't miss any of the action at all. Please do it as soon as you possibly can. Shane, you are the guest. Oh. You are first up. So please give us someone you are selling high on right now, and give us some negative talk on a good player. This is always fun.
Well, I'm going to go first with someone that Pat actually likes, and he was talking up on his other show.
A couple of these I think we're going to fight about here, Shane. I saw your list. So
today I was listening. I guess it was yesterday's episode. Joseph Burrow. Joe Burrow is QB4 in the Dynasty ECR, which is shocking. I find it abhorrent, offensive. I find it very recency biasy. biases, however you say that. So I'm just going to throw out some fun stats. I was looking for a tweet. Someone had a better stat than me. It was something, how much of his fantasy production came in three games. I couldn't find that. So I just looked up his stats real quick. 23% of his fantasy production came in weeks 16 and 17, which is great if you were in the championship. But unfortunately, if he was your quarterback, in one quarterback superflex leagues, even, you probably weren't in the playoffs. Now, I know Pat will have some reasoning as to why, you know, he's better than we think. Another thing that concerns me is he's got no rushing ability. Yes, he ran a little bit in college. We saw what happened in the pros. He ran a little bit in his rookie year and got his knee absolutely destroyed. And then the Bengals, I think, had a little talk with him, and rightly so, and said, hey, we don't want you to run, which is that's perfect for your franchise quarterback in the NFL. But
was he running when he got hurt? I just don't remember.
He was just a sitting duck in the pocket.
He was a sitting duck in the pocket, and his knee got absolutely wrecked. But I'm thinking they just don't want him ever just stay in your little bubble. Hopefully that won't happen again. We've improved your line, so hopefully we won't let anyone just shred your knee and come through. You can't be in the top five for me if you can't run for at least 400 rushing yards in a season. I mean, you don't have to, but you have to have the ability, like Patrick Mahomes, Josh Allen, someone I won't mention his name who's on this list that isn't liked, Lamar Jackson, Deshaun Watson, even. These are all guys I like more than Burrow. I like Burrow as a low-end quarterback one, which is what he was last year. He was a QB10. He's perfectly in that Dak Prescott, I'm not going to lose you a week, but I'm probably not going to win you a week role, unless, you know, he goes bonkers like he did in week 16 and 17 when you weren't even playing. Most of you weren't.
I love it. I love that we're starting with a fight here. Pat, I'll let you respond first, of course, because you are the Joe Burrow supporter. So tell me why Shane is wrong here.
Well, I'll push back a little bit on the rushing. I mean, I think maybe he'll give you a little something in there. Fair, he's never going to be a true Konami code guy, but maybe he can give you something close to what Justin Herbert gives you, maybe. And like, I know everyone is just over the moon on Herbert, and Herbert threw 152 more passes than Burrow last year. And I mean, I think that's kind of a circumstantial thing. Like, what if the Bengals defense falls apart, kind of like the Chargers did last year, and he has to throw a lot more? So, I mean, he's got these two great bookend receivers. I know, you know, Burrow really passes the eye test for me just as a pure passer, but man, that 8.9 yards per attempt last year, I mean, that's something Tom Brady has never done in his entire career, and Aaron Rodgers has done once. And I mean, I just think this guy is going to be like a ruthlessly efficient passer and like big play guy throughout his career. To me, watching him, I think he's a better quarterback than Justin Herbert.
I mean, look, I will admit I was wrong on Herbert coming in, and it was less about the physical tools for Herbert for me than like hearing him talk. And it was almost like he had to convince GMs that he was a, you know, hard-nosed enough guy to take over a huddle and all that stuff going into the process. And we'd never seen him have the success throwing at Oregon that he has had with the Chargers already. But I mean, look, I'm also in on Burrow. I'm okay with Burrow being high. He's going to have these great wide receivers for a while. The guy can throw the ball. He may not have the rushing upside that he once had, but I don't think that means that he can't run at all. So I wouldn't, you know, 400 yards is probably asking a lot, but it's more about scoring touchdowns on the run. So I think he can eventually do that. Although, you know, obviously last year coming off the injury, they didn't want him to do it. So I think that is something he could potentially add to his game. You know, if it ain't broke, don't fix it. It ain't broke right now, so they're probably not going to have him run. So I'm a little downer. I'm a little more down on him this season, specifically with this appendectomy. And is there going to be any rust week one? Because it doesn't look like he's going to play at all in the preseason. So maybe he gets off to a slow start or something. But I mean, overall, I think I'm okay with Burrow, but I'm just kind of in the middle. And also, look, I love the hating on Bengals. So Shane, you definitely get points for that with me being a Steelers fan. So Joe Burrow thrown under the bus by Shane. Who are you throwing under the bus here? Fitzy, who's your number one guy that you are selling high on?
I mean, even though I think it, you know, Shane's take on that was just ridiculous, I got to give him credit, though, for bringing a major sell high. I mean, if you do sell Joe Burrow,
you're going to get a lot.
It's going to be like, you know, the Price is Right showcase showdown with just, you know, one thing after another.
I'm glad you brought that up, Pat, because like sell high can mean different things. We talked about this a little bit last week with, you know, buying low, selling high. Joe Burrow is still going to be a great quarterback. Shane knows that, but he knows that the perceived value right now for Joe Burrow is probably a little bit more than it will be over the entirety of his career. So you're selling him at his very high point. Doesn't mean he's not going to be a QB1 moving forward. It just means he's not going to be a top five QB. So you can be down on someone or want to sell someone high and still not hate their guts. We're all being sarcastic and all that stuff. But I just wanted to make that point before we move on here. So sorry, Pat. Without further ado, who do you hate and don't want on any of your teams?
Yeah, in the case of my guy, it's more someone who I think has immediate value, but is probably going to be dust in 2 years, and someone no one really wants. Leonard Fournette, his ECR in Dynasty on the Fantasy Pros rankings is running back 22. It's like the running back 29 for me, and I wonder if that's even a little too high. Going into his age 27 season, and we've talked about this, box, like it was just the perfect setup for him last year with, you know, Tom Brady being in his mid-40s, just turning into a dump-off machine, never wanting to get hit. And there was no one else for Brady to dump off to last year because Gio Bernard was hurt. And, you know, Ronald Jones is a complete train wreck in the passing game. So this year, different. Other options, Gio's back, and they drafted Rashad White, who's good in the passing game. Like, that's kind of his thing. And the other thing in the running game, like, the Buccaneers' offensive line is hurting, man. Like,
Jansen was a big loss, yeah.
Yeah, they lose Jansen to the knee injury, which I don't think we know exactly what that is yet. I was kind of looking around for that.
It's not good. It looks like it's the year. Yeah.
All right. And then the two guards. I mean, they lost Alex Kappa in free agency. Ali Marpet retired. So that line's just been decimated, which, you know, Fournette has not really been the most efficient runner over his career to begin with. And, you know, I doubt he equals last year's, I believe, career high, 4.5 yards per carry with, you know, this lesser offensive line in front of him.
Now, while I love Leonard Fournette, and I do, I will admit that his dynasty value is probably a little overblown, but I do think he's still going to have a great year this year, even with the hits to the O-line, because Tom Brady loves him. And it's just hard to pull a player off the field that Tom Brady loves. You know, he's going to pass the ball to him a bunch of times still. I know Rashad White is getting some buzz. Our boy Pizapia on the ITL podcast today came on and said he thinks Kareem Hunt would be a perfect candidate to go to Tampa Bay. And that's a good thought. It's a great idea. And that would really hurt Leonard Fournette. But, you know, I mean, who knows if they're even going to trade Hunt? I don't think they are. They need him because of, you know, Brissett's probably going to be their quarterback for most of the year. So, you know, there's just not a lot challenging him this year. But when Brady leaves, it's all gone. You know, the offense, this team is going to be rebuilding. Hopefully he'll be on a different team. But you can't come into camp overweight at, you know, in your late 20s as a running back. You know, your career is not going to be, it's not going to last long. It's last the least of any position in the NFL. And I just don't think you can survive without great training. And he just doesn't seem to be, you know, the guy that's ever going to get that under control. So long-term value, I agree with you. This year, I'm still in on Fournette.
See, I was trying to do this without the fat shaming Bogman, but since you bring it on.
Hey, look, I ain't gonna fat shame. I ain't gonna fat shame anybody here. I'll just say that. First of all, I have no room to speak in terms of fat shaming, but you know, I also don't get paid millions of dollars to stay in shape. And I think I probably would be in better shape if I was paid millions of dollars for it. So, you know, you never know till you try. But, hey, somebody pay me millions of dollars. I'll see if I can stay in shape. That would be fine. But, you know, it's not a good look for a guy that already is kind of long in the tooth in terms of his NFL career. So, Shane, what do you think about Leonard Fournette moving forward?
Yeah, so here's the thing with Leonard Fournette. So I'm looking at the other players ranked around him, right? And if I'm looking at a guy that I'm just thinking about this year and next year, I think I'd rather have Ezekiel Elliott. Now, I know that offends all the Tony Pollard fans out there. Yeah, and if I'm looking long-term, well, clearly I'd rather have James Cook than Leonard Fournette. So I just – even Elijah Mitchell, to be quite honest with you. So there's just guys there that I like better. Like you said, I think he's fine for this year, but – I can get a player that I like better that ranked lower. I'd much rather take Zeke because I think Zeke's could have a better season. Like you guys said, Jansen's hurt. Last update on that was 3 days ago. He's out at least 2 months, which,
yeah.
So who knows?
It's not good. I mean, with a guy that size too, it's hard to, you know, get that knee repaired and maybe back at the end of the season, but it's probably going to be the year for him.
And even this year, though, I mean, there is legitimate competition, right? We think Rashad White might actually be legitimate. So. No, you don't think it'll be legitimate?
I like Rashad White a lot, but it's Brady. Do you think Brady wants a rookie out there protecting him? Even though Rashad White has been very good in camp and he came in as a better pass protector than most, rookie running backs would be, I just don't know if you want a rookie out there protecting you.
Yeah,
I think Gio Bernard will get that run.
And if Gio is healthy, he's going to see a ton of receptions. You're not going to see those little dump offs and I fall down quickly that Leonard Fournette does.
Hey, you know what? In PPR, they all count.
No. I love them.
Yeah, look, and you mentioned a couple guys there. And I'll say this, I like James Cook a lot, and I think he's got the ability to take over that backfield at some point. I still would take Leonard Fournette in a dynasty draft over him right now because Leonard Fournette has a number one job, and I like James Cook. But give me Leonard Fournette. Give me the guy that's going to get touchdowns for a good offense. You know, James Cook's going to have a role. He could even take over the full role. But you're going to be halfway through the year by that point, especially if Zach Moss gets any run here that we're hearing about. I mean, more likely he gets traded or cut. But, it just looks weird there. And I don't like what they're doing with James Cook right now. But I'd rather have Leonard Fournette. So I'll defend Leonard Fournette a little bit. But if this was a redraft show, I'd defend him to the bone. So won't do that here. My first player that I want to sell high is Kyler Murray, currently ECR QB5. And once again, this doesn't mean that I think he's going to completely fall off or be a bad player. I just think that this is the highest level you're going to get Kyler Murray at. So right now would be a good time to sell him. And I say that because this system has been nice for him. But we saw his rushing touchdowns drop off last year from 11 to 5. And James Conner got that big run. Well, after you sign a guy like Kyler Murray to this big, giant extension after he was a huge crybaby, and you have to put that Call of Duty stat, which, by the way, did you guys see the Barstool Call of Duty stat on Kyler Murray? Did either one of you see that?
Yes. Yes.
Fitzy,
yes.
You didn't see it? Oh, thank God.
Upon the release of Call of Duty.
Upon the release of Call of Duty, his average points per game, which is also it's later in the season, so guy could be banked up. There's many different reasons, but it's just a funny correlation. His points per game go from 22.5 to 17.5 after the average release date of Call of Duty comes out, which is why they had this this 4 hours of independent study clause originally in his contract, because everybody knows that he just loves the game all the time, which is eye rolling and dumb, but whatever. It's just a funny correlation. But the bigger point to me is that, you know, after signing a guy to a deal this big, you probably want to run him a little less because he is of smaller stature. He did get hurt last season. Remember, he rolled his ankle and I think he only missed 2 or 3 games. But, you know, it's that questionable tag you have to go in with. It's not just the games he physically misses. It's also the, am I going to be able to start this guy? So you probably burn a roster spot on another player, another quarterback backing him up just in case he can't go. So he becomes a little conditional sometimes. And so I think they're going to run him a little bit less, which, as Shane mentioned beforehand, takes a lot of value off of these guys if they can't run as much or are not willing to run as much. So I just don't think specifically at the goal line they're going to run him a lot. Plus, he extends a lot of plays, which opens himself up for some big hits in a lifetime of watching Ben Roethlisberger play and extend plays. I know exactly how a guy can get his head taken off. I mean, Ben took hits that would have broken Kyler Murray in half. So it all adds up to me not being as high on Kyler Murray. and I moved him all the way down to 6 in my dynasty rankings. From his ECR is 5, I have him at 6, so I'm still very high on him. But I just think if you're looking to sell someone high, Kyler Murray is going to be one of those guys for me. Shane, what do you think of Murray?
Highly offended. I love Murray. As you might know or may have heard, I took Murray at 101 in the Scott Fishbowl. Didn't think twice about it. Look, I've heard the narrative that Kyler Murray falls off towards the end of the year, and it's somewhat true, but I just wanted to take a peek just to see how he did the end of last year. So 3 out of the last 5 weeks last year, he finished as a QB6 or better. If that's fallen off, I'm okay with that. Now, the other 2 weeks, admittedly, he was 13 and 15, which isn't elite. That's not what you want there, right? That's not what you're banking on. Because you probably, if you have Kyler Murray in a super flex, you built your team around him. If he's giving you a QB 15 week, you probably lost. The size concern's legitimate. Yes. Because yes, same thing. Like, I've watched Big Ben take a bunch of hits. I was hoping that he would break in half, and he never did. And Kyler does look like he would get absolutely destroyed if someone hit him like that. But I don't know if someone will, because I'm not smart enough to think of this on my own, but someone said it before. These guys have been this size their whole life, right?
Yeah.
Like, they've always been undersized. Obviously, the NFL is a whole different animal, but he's been undersized his whole life. So I'm sure that he's used to that, and he understands what he needs to do, not take hits. I love the addition of Marquise Brown.
Me too. I like that.
I think, look, best friends, college best friends, that's the new breakfast narrative. So if you went to college together, obviously you're going to combine for 1,500 receiving yards next year. I think that the receiving core will be really good when DeAndre Hopkins gets back, because I'll be able to run a lot more two tight end sets with him and Ertz, since Hopkins is basically a tight end now. I do like that team. And I think even if his rushing comes down, he does have room for regression for throwing touchdowns, because he's never really had a high amount. He's 26, 24, 20, something like that every year. So there's definitely room for growth in the touchdown department, passing touchdowns, which, again, like you said earlier about points, I don't care how you get them. Is it just throwing touchdown or a rushing touchdown? I'll take the 6. Your concerns are valid, though. I tend to look on the opposite side because I like him, which is what we generally do with players that we like.
Of course.
So that's what I'm going to do. But yeah,
script the narrative.
I'm definitely a Kyler Murray guy.
Fitzy, you're the tiebreaker. Are you in or out on Kyler Murray long term?
Yeah, so now I've got two crazy people on the show with me, because I'm totally in on Kyler Murray still, and like, he is anchoring my best and the dynasty team dearest to my heart. And I know before he had that high ankle sprain against the Packers in week 8 last year, I mean, he was just putting up massive points every week. I mean, it's like,
also
before
Call of Duty came out.
Yeah. Before Call of Duty came out. Fine. Yeah, I mean, he had my team 7-0, and it was largely like on his back. And the thing about Murray, like, for all the running quarterbacks, he is a better passer than Jalen Hurts. He's a better passer than Lamar Jackson. I mean, it's just easy to see when you watch him. And last year he actually spiked his yards per attempt, 7.9. His previous high had been 7.1. His passer rating
with Hollywood, right? I mean, it should.
It should, man. Once he gets DeAndre Hopkins back, man, he's going to have some pass catchers. You know, Trey McBride, kind of an underrated acquisition, possibly. So, I really like the dude. I think there's still upward mobility, and as our colleague Matt Friedman said, this is the only guy in the league capable of throwing for 5,000 and running for 1,000. There's no one else who can do it. And, not that he's going to, not that it's a likelihood, but like, his ceiling probably is higher than any other quarterback, except maybe Josh Allen. We're leaving out Josh Allen. I guess Josh Allen could maybe do it, but
maybe I'm remembering Lamar Jackson too fondly, putting up
number
one and number two CFF scores ever over Barry Sanders even. But I think Lamar could do that too, but he's not in the right system to do that. So that is a valid argument against Lamar, is that like, Harbaugh is never going to let him do that. They're never going to pass the ball that much. They're going to run the ball. Before we get to Shane's second player that he's selling high on, let me tell you guys about Reality Sports Online. And by now, most of you have probably heard of Reality Sports Online, the powerful fantasy sports platform where owners get to build and manage their lineups like an NFL general manager. But the question is, have you tried it? It's time to go see what all the buzz in the dynasty community is about: free agency, multi-year contracts, a rookie draft, multi-team trades, franchise tags, contract extensions, first-round rookie options, automated contract, salary cap functionality, and much, much more. Think it sounds complicated? It's not. The best thing about Reality Sports Online Fantasy Front Office is that it doesn't take any more time than a standard league. It just requires more strategy. Think you're among the fantasy elite? Well, this is the platform to test your mettle. Still not sure? You can test your general manager skills for free, FREE, in a mock free agency auction. If you like what you see, use the promo code FANTASYPROS to receive a 10% discount on your team or league today. Fantasy just got real at realitysportsonline.com. Shane, who is your number two player that you are going to be selling high on right now?
So look, I just want to preface this by saying you and Pat made a good point, right? And sometimes we don't make this point. Part of selling high is I can get a lot in return for this player, right?
Right.
Like, you can't just sell high on a player just because you don't like them, because you're going to get squat back. So this is a player that I know you can get a lot back for. Mr. CeeDee Lamb,
the blasphemy
wide receiver 3 in ECR consensus in Dynasty. And I've said this before, he's the wide receiver 3 almost by default, right? Like, it goes some version in everyone's rankings of Justin Jefferson and Ja'Marr Chase. And then it's like, well, I guess it's CD because he's supposed to be the next one, but he hasn't actually been elite yet. His target share last year, 20%, 18% in his rookie year. Those are good, not elite. It's been wide receiver 10, wide receiver 18. Good, not elite. The other thing is even if he comes out and smashes this year and puts up a wide receiver, I don't know, overall 3 season, what's his ranking going to be next year? Wide receiver 3. Like, he's at his ceiling. Now, I know Justin Jefferson and Ja'Marr Chase are too, obviously, but I just think they are different, very different players than CD. No disrespect to CD. Those guys have shown it, that they are elite elite. Where CD has shown that he's good, I don't know that he's shown that he's actually wide receiver 3 good. So that I'm good with selling him and pivoting off him for a wide receiver, you know, that someone might have ranked a little lower, but has similar production.
So who is that? Like, who are you talking about? A 1-for-1 CD deal? Is there, or are you talking about like get someone lower back in like a draft pick or something like that?
Yeah. So in the beginning of the summer, summer is ending. Or beginning of the off season, my favorite move was trading CeeDee Lamb for Jalen Waddle in a first, trading CeeDee Lamb for T. Higgins and a first.
Okay.
Because both those guys, Jalen Waddle actually, you know, obviously got a little ding there when Tyreek joined them. Wasn't really looking forward to that or knowing that that was going to happen. But I feel like both those guys have at least 80 to 90% of CD's production in them, if not better than him. And then you get the additional first, you take the shot. So if your particular league's not up on the 2023 class, still try to make that move, because the 2023 class is just going to be sickening. And all your league mates will hate you next year when you make that pick. But something like that, definitely not straight up. I wouldn't pivot just to a different wide receiver. There's no other wide receiver 1-for-1 unless I'm getting Justin Jefferson or Ja'Marr Chase that I would move for.
Yeah, so he's kind of in his own tier, which does make him a little bit tougher to trade, Pat. But look, I don't hate the idea of selling CeeDee Lamb high, but there's no way I'm going to sell CeeDee Lamb high. I think he has that same type of ability that Jefferson and Chase do. He just hasn't had that number one overall role yet. It looks like it's coming this year because they got nobody else right now. Everybody's hurt. Amari is gone. And I was high on Amari too. I always liked Amari Cooper. So Fitz, your thoughts on CeeDee Lamb? Is this is Shane right that you would trade high, or do you think he's kind of appropriate where he is? What do you think about him?
I think Shane's right, and Lamb is probably appropriate where he is. Like, I think the talent is legit. I mean, I kind of fell for him, Boggs, when he was torching your beloved Texas Longhorns for 3 touchdowns in the Red River rivalry game.
Why do you think what do you think I have him in such high esteem, by the way? Because I watched many of those games. So, you know.
Yeah. And I think he made maybe one of the most acrobatic catches I've ever seen at the combine, when it was just like a fade pattern drill. I think he's really good. I think he's primed for maybe like 140, 150 target season, the way things are setting up with the Cowboys. But like, I can't argue with Shane at all. And if you're one of these people, and certain people like to build this way in Dynasty, like, you know, build the wide receiver room and just stack good receiver on top of good receiver. If you've got that kind of a team where you've got plenty of depth behind Lamb and you're, you know, because you pay so much attention to wide receiver, your running backs are trash or you've got nothing at quarterback, I could totally see moving Lamb and getting obviously a lot in return. Like, he is one of the guys you could just get a king's ransom for.
Yeah, I just think with the current state of the Cowboys secondary, they're going to need to play point for point for a while. I mean, Trayvon Diggs deleted his Twitter because everyone's posting so many, clips of him getting torched by not just CeeDee Lamb. I mean, CeeDee Lamb is like, okay, I got torched by one of the best three wide receivers in the NFL, whatever. But he's getting torched by Noah Brown out there. You know, he's not having a good camp right now. So, it's been pretty ugly. Fitzy, who's your number two player that you're going to end up selling high on here for us?
I'm just almost like embarrassed now because Shane is bringing up the bazooka and I've got this water pistol. Like, I've got, I mean,
how about this? You don't look as crazy. How about that? You have that too.
It's like, what am I getting in a deal for Clyde Edwards-Helaire? And yet Clyde Edwards-Helaire is a sell high because, like, I think he's going to be worth almost nothing after this year. You want to make a Chiefs fan sad, just remind them that they could have had Jonathan Taylor instead of Clyde Edwards-Helaire. And I mean, Chiefs fans do not have a lot to be sad about, but man.
Yeah.
And so, like, this guy was supposed to be the reason everyone was so excited about him. They thought he was going to be a big part of the passing game, and it really hasn't happened, man. I mean, last year, 1.9 catches a game, 12.9 receiving yards a game. And I had hope in the offseason that, like, CEH was at least going to be the sole pass catching running back on a team that has a quarterback who likes to throw to his running backs. I mean, the Chiefs have targeted their running backs at a pretty high rate the last couple of years, but then they signed Jerick McKinnon. And when Jerick McKinnon poses an existential threat to your fantasy value, like, you're not going to be around for long. I mean,
not even the biggest threat now. Isaiah Pacheco seems to be the biggest
threat. And Isaiah Pacheco,
now.
Exactly. Like, he's really good. So, like, in his rookie year, CEH was like RB20 in fantasy points per game with all running backs who had at least 7 games. Last year, running back 28. I mean, if you can't flourish with the Chiefs, where are you going to flourish? And I think if he doesn't get it done this year, he's just going to be like gone or relegated to kick returns.
Yeah, I mean, look, one that I wholeheartedly agree with here, and I don't think, Shane, you're going to have much to argue about with Fitzy on CEH, right?
I mean, it's Isaiah Pacheco's backup, so no. I can't report.
7th rounder versus 1st rounder, that's just craziness. But it's the way it is. It's running backs.
Yeah, remember, I need everyone to remember as a lesson to all of us. We were all, and I me by all, by based off ADP, we were drafting Clyde Edwards-Helaire in the first round of startup drafts the year he came out. The first round of startup drafts, not the rookie draft, Mike. Startup,
yeah,
because he went to the Chiefs. We saw what he did at LSU the year before, and we went 1 + 1 = 100 million points. He's going to score next year. And then he got to the NFL, and we're like, wait, he doesn't look as fast as he did in college. Yeah, man, that dude's just been a disappointment. I get a pat if you can move him now, pivot to another position. I would do that all day. If anyone still believes in him, make the move.
Yeah, and look, you know, it doesn't mean that CEH is dead, but he's not going to do anything in Kansas City, right? Like, go somewhere else. He doesn't have a lot of tread because he can't get on the field, right? So he hasn't worn down the tread too much. So, you know, look, go somewhere else. See if you can have success somewhere else or have a role at least. Turn into J.D. McKissick or something. I don't know, but it ain't working in KC. And like Pat said, if it ain't working in KC, it probably ain't going to work. So that's just the way it is. My second guy here, I'm going to go with David Montgomery. And this one hurts my heart because I like David Montgomery a lot. And it was up until training camp that I was still high on him because Eberflus, he was saying all the right things. He gave him the, I like Eminem guys, motor and mean. And David Montgomery is motor and mean. That's what he is. He's a professional. He's a stud, all that stuff. And now we get to camp. And this was his quote. Montgomery has embraced the potential of playing on special teams this season. They're putting him in special teams. They're splitting his reps with Khalil Herbert, who I know Erickson likes better than David Montgomery, and that's fine. Or at least Erickson says he fits this system that Eberflus is and Getty are going to run in Chicago this year. But, you know, special teams reps in Montgomery saying whatever they need me to do, I'm going to be ready to be there. I've never really played special teams before, but I'm always down and excited to learn so I can be better. That is crazy to me. I just don't see why you would take a guy like it has been working, you know, so don't try to fix something that has been working. New coaching staff, they not beholden to anyone on this roster. They seem to like Herbert just as much, but I really feel swindled a little bit by Eberflus and, you know, just he's turning into Pete Carroll. You can't trust anything the guy says because he's going to talk up somebody and then give his job away. So, and also, you know, they're not making a lot of great moves towards getting new free agents when they're trying to, you know, trick Roquan Smith into signing a bad deal because he doesn't have an agent. That was, I don't know if you guys saw that, but the Bears put de-escalators in his contract offer, which is just not something that is done. So, you know, David Montgomery has to take a hit here. I don't think he's going to, you know, go the way of the dodo like Clyde Edwards-Helaire and be non-existent after this season, but he definitely needs to be on a different team to put up the numbers that he was the last couple of years, even on a bad Chicago team. So Shane, what do you think of Dave Montgomery moving forward here?
It hurts. I'll say that the whole special teams thing, like I just usually, you know, I play off practice reports because you're like, oh, well, that doesn't mean anything. He practiced with the twos one day. Yeah, he might have practiced with the threes. He's practicing on special teams. Like, that's you don't do that. As, like you said, you don't do that as a starting NFL running back. And if there's any decrease in his volume, well, then he's dead because that's all he is volume. Like, that's what we need. The guy had 270 touches last year in 13 games. Like, he's just a volume guy. He's not efficient. You know, he's going to get you maybe 4 yards a carry if you're lucky. He's going to get you 50 to 60 receptions and not do much with them, but, you know, PPR points. And if he's not on the field and if he's losing carries to Herbert and maybe even Tristan Ebner, as if that's the guy's name, I think that's his name. But if he's losing touches to anyone, basically, it's going to basically crush his production because he's a volume back. That's what you need from him. Lots and lots of volume. And if he's not getting it, then he's not going to be able to produce. And that hurts my heart because I love David Montgomery, but it's not looking great for him, to be honest with you.
Yeah. I mean, Fitz, what do you think of Montgomery? This is your chance to kick the Bears while they're down.
Yeah. I like Montgomery, a high effort player, versatile skill set, but you know, as Shane said, he's not really efficient. It's nice that he can catch passes. It's nice that he can, I think he's pretty good in traffic. He can break a tackle. He can, you know, he seems to do well in tight quarters.
Put him in Kansas City, right?
Yeah, there's a spot for him in a committee somewhere, I think, after his Bears career. But, you know, anyone buying the workhorse running back from 2021 is going to be disappointed. And, yeah, man, I get the feeling that the new regime is really trying to, you know, get the stink of the Ryan Pace, you know.
Situation.
Yeah, it's just, but I don't know, man. Maybe the Bears ought to stop hiring GMs named Ryan, because I don't know if Ryan Pauls is any better right now with the draft that he just had. It's a
bad look, too, with that contract to Roquan. I mean, why are other free agents going to want to go there if you're just going to waste their time?
And they're stuck because, by the way, who feels like they're just, you know, my guy, Peter Bukowski, is like a Packers Twitter guy and podcast host. Is like, who thinks they're one piece away and the piece is like an off the ball linebacker? Oh, right. And you've got to give up assets to get this guy, like, and then pay him a lot of money. Like, they're going to be stuck with this, and it's just going to be another thing where, you know, bad blood, kind of like Allen Robinson when they franchise tagged him last year and he was unhappy all season, and, you know, maybe that contributed to by far the worst year of his career.
Yeah. Yeah, you get less effort from those guys when they feel like they're not appreciated. So, yeah, just a bad look. Shane, who is number three for you? I'm putting my boxing gloves on.
Oh, this is fun. Now I feel like I'm just being all hot takey for the sake of being hot takey, and I promise you I'm not. All right? Javonte Williams, running back. What are we looking at? 3 in ECR?
No, right? He can't be that high. Come on. He's not.
I believe it. I think he's three for me.
We'll go
in Dynasty ECR?
Yeah. Dynasty ECR.
I'll look while you're talking.
He is three. I just want to note that mostly that's Joe Pizzapia's fault for ranking him at two. Otherwise, he'd be closer to four. Either way, I'm not paying either of those prices for him. Now, part of this, I need everyone to understand how I play Dynasty football. I don't believe in running backs as players that you ever acquire on purpose. You kind of get them in rookie drafts and you trade for them when they're old. That's what I like to do and get them off the waiver wire. So just know that. But part of it, again, is he hasn't earned his ranking. He had 246 touches last year. He's never been a bell cow. He wasn't a bell cow in college. He shared the backfield. It was fun this offseason or last week when everyone was saying that he was getting 90% of the touches to 10% of Melvin Gordon's. And then someone famous came out and tweeted, I don't remember who, but basically
Cecil Lamy.
Maybe him. Yeah. It was like, guys, it's been 50-50. I don't know what you're talking
about. I heard 70-30. From Cecil Lamy.
I heard 70-30. I heard, I can't remember the guy's name.
Get a lot of weird numbers thrown out.
Yeah, there's just a bunch of stuff thrown out. And look, I know they didn't pay Melvin Gordon a lot. They still brought him back. I have the feeling, and again, it's just a feeling, that Javonte Williams is not going to ever be a guy that gets 300 opportunities in a season. Now, if he does, he probably will be the running back three, and I'll have to eat crow. Which is fine. But I don't see that happening. I really don't. And not with Russ Wilson, to be quite honest with you. I think Russ is going to be thrown a lot, but I don't think he's going to be thrown a lot to the backs, at least not at an offensive rate. You know what I mean? He's got a good wide receiver core there. Apparently great tight ends in Albert O and Greg Dulcich. I don't see Javonte Williams paying off at running back three. And if I don't see a running back hitting that peak, I'm going to sell high and I'm going to do my same thing. I'm going to pivot for another running back that I think can give me 80% of the production and try to get a pick. I actually did look up a trade on the Trade Finder for one of the sites I write for. And I saw a trade that I would slam dunk, except someone traded Javonte Williams for Garrett Wilson and a 2023 first. That is a trade I would make every day of every night. I would take over other people's teams to make that trade. That's just me though. And again, his talent, I think he's very talented. Although he was only like 28th in fantasy points per opportunity last year, which isn't that impressive, but you know, I think he's good. I just don't think he's elite.
And look, I'm on Joe Pizzapia's side. I have him at running back four. I'm a little surprised. I thought I was high on him, but I'm not even at consensus with Javonte, because I love him for this year too. I think he's, you know, borderline first round pick. You don't have to take him there. I believe his ECR is like 16 for drafts this season, but you're right. This is one of those rare scenarios, maybe not rare, but where I understand and appreciate Shane's logic on Javonte Williams. You know, he had Michael Carter at North Carolina last year, his first year in the NFL. He had Melvin Gordon with him. The whole reason I'm in on Javonte Williams is because Melvin Gordon was not part of the Broncos' plan at all at running back. They let him become a free agent. He's a free agent for 2 months. He was that close to signing with the Baltimore Ravens in April, and he would have just been gone. He signed back with the Broncos 2 days before the NFL draft because they didn't want to draft any of these running backs. They said, well, if we could just bring back the vet who was here last year, let's do that. And, you know, it's funny because I was reading those reports from Cecil Lamy, you know, and he said the first 5 days, five of the first 6 days, all the first reps went to Javonte. Melvin Gordon is on the second team. But those last, like the last week, Melvin Gordon got a big heap of these first team reps. So to me, that's just like, hey, we want both these running backs to learn the system, right? It's not really about who's getting the reps under a first-year head coach. It's that everybody gets reps. So I think that's more important. So for me, I still think this is going to be a Javonte, you know, 70-30 split. I think he's going to get most of it. This is going to be his first time he's getting a big workload, which is, you know, it's a little dicey. You know, he could go in it and be one of these upper level running backs that we didn't expect him to be, or he could be a guy that just absolutely cannot handle that giant of a workload like Rashad Penny. You know, you try to give Rashad Penny a workload, who we'll talk about in a second here, and he goes down immediately. But Fitzy, your thoughts on Javonte as the tiebreaker here, because I think both thought processes are valid. It's just kind of comes down to a gut feeling here.
So I think he's going to be really good based on what we've seen, although I'm not, you know, 100% sure that he's going to be a perennial RB1 type. And, you know, for the workload, I think it 60-40 is probably, like, I kind of doubt we see 70-30. We just don't see splits that big in anything that's even approaching a committee. 70-30 is like Dalvin Cook, Alexander Mattison. So I don't think we're going to see that. But what Shane said is so right about how, like, his value now, in part because he hasn't had that role yet. Like, he is like the expensive car that's on the lot. As soon as that car goes off the lot, it's going to lose 20 to 30% of its value. Right now, everyone is just like, they can imagine themselves driving this new car that, you know, they're going to have for the inevitable workhorse role that they think Javonte is going to wind up in someday. But what if that doesn't happen? Or what if it's not as good as people think it's going to be when it actually happens? What if it winds up some Nick Chubb scenario where he's always
right
sharing with someone? He's always got someone driving in the sidecar next to him. So we just don't know. And I agree, like, if you can get that sort of price for him, and I don't disagree with Shane's overall philosophy on running backs either.
Yeah, look, that's a good point. If you're going to miss on a running back, because it ain't going to last long anyway, for the most part. So that is a good thought process. Fitzy, who's your third player you're selling high on?
Oh, man. So Mike Evans, and it pains me to say it. I mean, the guy's been just money in the bank. 8 for 8 with 1,000-yard seasons. 8 years, 8,000-yard seasons. Has averaged 9 touchdowns a season. I'm not just saying it because of age. He turns 29, I think, this month. And, like, I think I'm not going to say that, like, big receivers don't necessarily age well because of AJ Green or anything like that. But there is one thing that kind of worries me about the last couple of years with Mike Evans. And I wonder about his ability to command targets. Over his first 6 years, he averaged 9.27 targets a game. Over the last 2 years, 6.96 targets a game. And, you know, if he's getting a smaller target share and aging and presumably getting, you know, less and less separation, not that he's ever been a big separator, you know, and then there's the whole Brady thing. Like, Brady could fall off the cliff this year. I doubt Brady's around next year playing at age 46. Like, I believe, although I'm not sure, like, who has a club option or player option, but I think he signed with the Bucs for 4 more years. And, you know, we just don't know what happens with that quarterback situation post Brady.
You tell me you don't trust Kyle Trask? Come on. Come on. I actually kind of do like Kyle Trask, but it's just because at Florida, he got better every year. So I kind of like seeing that stuff. But look, I think this is fair. And I think all the stuff you didn't want to make points towards are also points in your favor. He is a bigger receiver. They don't tend to age well. You know, Tom Brady, I mean, look, I'm not going to sit here and say Tom Brady is most likely gone, because I think he plays till he's 50. I think that's going to end up being his goal. But who knows? I mean, I think he just wanted to move Bruce Arians out of Tampa Bay in the offseason. So who knows? If I was him, I'd be going home to Giselle every day. So I don't know what he's doing playing right now. But it's a fair point. Shane, Mike Evans, is this a guy that you're down? It's hard. He's been Mr. Consistency, but is this more, I mean, you know, like Fitz, you said, it's not about age because he's only 29, but falling knife, he's going to fall off at some point here.
Yeah. So here's the thing about it not being about age. It's a lot about age for me. so I am an ageist in Dynasty as well. Because I look at the values spikes and when they fall off, right? 29, his value is never going to increase. I don't care what he does next year. Look at Cooper Kupp, because Cooper Kupp's value went up by about like 3 spots after last year, and he just put up a historic year. Do we think Evans is going to do that? I don't think that's in Evans' range of outcomes, because like Pat noted, he's not getting a high target share. He's getting a lot of fantasy points off of touchdowns, which that's great. But, you know, touchdowns are fluky, as we've been told, as we know. If you don't trade him now, and this is how I look at it, if you don't trade him now for something, what are you going to be able to trade it for him next year?
I mean, this is probably it. If you don't trade him now, you're probably just holding him, right?
Yeah. And I don't think his production is going to be high enough that he's one of those players that I go, okay, I'm fine with him retiring on my roster and getting nothing for him. There's a few wide receivers in this bucket. I won't get into other ones like Tyreek Hill, but there's guys that are approaching this age where I'm like, you know what? Now's the time to move them, because all it takes is one more year. They're going to be a year older, or one flop year, and their value is going to really bottom out. So I'm definitely on board with moving Mr. Evans.
And he hasn't missed a bunch of games recently. I think he missed one last year. He didn't miss any in 2020. He missed three in 2019. But he does seem to be nicked up or banged up a lot. So, you know, just slowing down a little bit, which is just another piece on the anti-Mike Evans bandwagon, which, I mean, he's the reason Johnny Manziel won a Heisman. But I digress. I'm not even going to get into that. Let's go to my third player here. Rashad Penny coming in at Dynasty ECR running back 38. I kind of feel, once again, after hearing who you guys are saying, I feel like, you know, I'm not really, this isn't a hot take at all. But look, I hate the Rashad Penny love this year. And it's not, I like Rashad Penny as a running back. He's a great running back. I liked him coming out of San Diego State. I will say I was shocked that the Seahawks took him in the first round over some other backs too, but a first round Rashad Penny was very, very surprising to me. But Pete Carroll just doesn't care. He just takes whoever he wants, you know. And the big performance at the end of last year was eye opening, you know, and all the underlying numbers were great. Number one in yards after contact per attempt for running backs with a minimum of 100 carries. He's fourth in PFF's breakaway yards in only 10 games. Only Jonathan Taylor and Chubb had more breakaway yards than him. He had the number one elusive rating among running backs with 100 carries or more. But my issue with Penny is it's not even Ken Walker. It's that he can't stay on the field. Over his career, he's dealt with a finger fracture, a knee strain, a hamstring strain, an ACL tear, another knee strain, a calf strain, a hamstring strain. He's always hurt. He is Mr. Glass. He cannot stay on the field. He's had 20 carries in his career. Twice. They were the last two games of last season. And you bring in a workhorse like Kenneth Walker. I think Kenneth Walker is going to take a lot of these carries. And I don't think Rashad Penny is going to matter by the end of the year, because he ain't going to make it to the end of the year like he usually doesn't. You know, last year, once again, he made it through the end of the year, but he couldn't get through the front. He only played 10 games. His career high for carries in a season is 119. So there's just other second tier running backs like, you know, a lot of rookies, Brian Robinson, Damian Pierce, Rashad White, Isaiah Spiller, Ramondre Stevenson's a vet, Alexander Mattison's a vet that's going to be a starter for somebody next year, most likely. I would much rather have those guys than have Rashad Penny. And I think for this year, those are deals for the most part, maybe not Damian Pierce anymore because he's getting a lot of love right now. But I think for a lot of those other guys, you can get that deal done if you offer Rashad Penny. There will be, I think that there's camps, right? You're either all in or all out on Rashad Penny. I'm all the way out. Shane, what do you think of Penny moving forward here?
I'm very lukewarm on him. This is one of the few players I don't have a strong take on. I think Penny's going to be fine for the beginning of the season. So you get 4 or 5 weeks in 2022 and you're like, wow, I'm really happy that I have him on my team and I didn't trade him for Brian Robinson. And then for the rest of your life, or a year or two, you're going to be like, I should have traded him for Brian Robinson when Brian Robinson has stolen Antonio Gibson's job, right, Pat? In week 9 or next year. I'm going to go on a little rant. I loved Penny so much coming out of college. The dude is so like physically gifted, and when he plays, it's just so good. But like you noted, twice he's had 20 carries in his career.
The last two games of last year were the first times he had 20 carries in a game.
Yeah, no, sadly, I'm out on Mr. Penny. I loved Penny, but like, dude, if you can't stay on the football field, he's just not durable. I know injury prone isn't a thing. People will tell you that, but people tell you that injury prone is not a thing. But I'll say this, he's not durable. I heard someone else use that word today, so I liked it because it sounds less worse than injury prone. So he's not durable. And Kenneth Walker, I think Kenneth Walker is good enough to be the starter from week one, to be quite with you, and leave Rashad Penny basically with nothing. And then you get nothing out of the guy. And it's like, wow, I really should have moved him. So I'm going to agree with you. I don't want to agree with you, but I'll agree.
Yeah. Yeah. Shane and I slowly becoming best friends. I'm accepting your brain here. Look, the training camp stuff hasn't looked great, because what I saw recently was Penny's getting like all the first team snaps and Walker is getting second team snaps. And I don't care. It's the slow death. You know, it's the fact that this guy cannot stay on the field. The old scouting take on this would be, Pat, availability is the best ability. And Rashad Penny doesn't have it. So we've kind of hit Rashad Penny on the head. Any more thoughts on him?
No, just what you said. The fact that he's getting all the first team reps, like, use that to sell.
Yeah, yeah. Use that as a selling point, because even if he gets, even if he comes into the year as the number one and it's unquestioned, he will not last. Shane, who is your last player that you are going to be selling high on?
So I started with a bang, and I'm kind of going out with a whimper here. Dawson Knox, I am vehemently opposed to him being ranked anywhere within the top 12 dynasty tight ends. Ooh. I think he has absolutely no business being there. He does one thing really well. He scores touchdowns, right? So he had 33.3% of his fantasy points were scored on touchdowns last year. And you're like, all right, but he's a tight end. That kind of happens, right? Next closest guy was someone that we might talk about later. I don't know. Dalton Schultz at 22%. He's touchdowns and it. That's it. Like, the dude had 47 receptions last year. I might be a little off on that. His touchdown rate was just ridiculous, like 18%. Like, you can't do that. It doesn't happen. It's impossible, especially when he had 5 touchdowns over his first 2 seasons. You don't all of a sudden just become a guy that's going to score 10 touchdowns a year, unless you're Devontae Adams and you're targeted in the end zone 36 times a year, or from, you know, by Aaron Rodgers. He's just not that. I don't want to say good. That seems mean, because he's better than me. I'll say that. He's a lot better than me. If I was out there running routes, like, he's crushing me. I would no separation, and I would score no touchdowns. But his scoring was all touchdowns. His target rate was his positionally, his target share of 11.4% ranked 23rd in the league. His target share was lower than CJ Uzoma, who had games where he was targeted twice and scored 3 touchdowns. I'm not sure how he did that, but he did. You're drafting him at his ceiling, even at tight end 11. And I don't think he ever sees that again.
And look, this was, we had a show like this a couple weeks ago, and I decided between Hunter Henry and Dawson Knox, because they both scored 9 touchdowns. I think a weird, crazy stat on Dawson Knox: 0 touchdowns in college, didn't score 1. And so he's kind of, this is a touchdown regression thing. He's making up for it in the pros. The reason that I picked Hunter Henry over Dawson Knox as a tight end I didn't like was because, I mean, which offense is more likely to give their tight end 9 touchdowns? I think it is Buffalo, but these points you make are very, very valid. 49 catches, by the way, you were a couple off, but still, you know, 9 of those were touchdowns. Fitz, you know, touchdowns are finicky, and it's just hard to rely on them from year to year, right?
Yeah, I mean, at least Knox is athletic. And maybe we could blame the target share on, what, didn't he have a broken thumb last year that he was dealing with for a while? I think it knocked him out of a few games.
And yeah, I remember you
talking
about that.
Broken hand, was that what it was? So, yeah, I mean, like, I don't know if I can squint and see Travis Kelce upside with Dawson Knox, but maybe I can see him growing a little bit with Josh Allen and maybe growing that target share a little bit. You know, I just... I can't, like, disagree with Shane too much. And yet, you know, the tight end on my list, I would trade the tight end on my list for Dawson Knox.
So let's hear the tight end on your list, Fitzy. Who is your last sell high player?
Well, Mr. Manila just mentioned him. It's Dalton Schultz. And if you just fell into this guy, like, cash in now. And the funny thing is, with, like, Amari Cooper leaving and Michael Gallup hurts and James Washington hurt, like, the red light is still on because people are talking themselves into Dalton Schultz having another great season. But, like, athletically, this guy is so ordinary. I feel like this is just totally circumstantial that he's producing, kind of because he has to. And you look at the efficiency numbers, and they're just kind of average. And Shane can appreciate this because he knows how good the 2023 class is going to be. I was looking at recent DLF trades involving Dalton Schultz, and one of them was Schultz plus a 2023 third rounder for a 2023 first rounder.
Take that all day.
That's another case, like Shane said. I want to take that fantasy team over just so I can have that pick and take advantage of that trade. So yeah, man, I don't think this is a lasting thing with Dalton Schultz. Like, get out now.
So you're saying that Shane might be the same athletically as Dalton Schultz, right? Like, we can agree he's not Dustin Knox.
That's a little closer, yes.
But maybe he is closer to Dalton Schultz. What do you think of Schultz?
I'm going to have to step on the flag football field at the FF Expo and line up at the tight end. Definitely a move tight end. No, it's Schultz. So, and, you know, when I was talking about CeeDee Lamb, I thought the same thing, right? Like, I don't like Schultz either, right? Because I think, again, it's more opportunity, and I don't think that he's going to score at the same rate that he did last year. But then I look at the Cowboys and I go, well, wait a minute. All they have is CeeDee Lamb and Dalton Schultz. So one of these two has got to eat, if not both of them, right?
How dare you, Jalen Tolbert? How dare you?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And James Washington's only out for what? 6 to 10 weeks, and Michael Gallup will be back at some point.
Yeah.
But for those like first 6 weeks, I think Schultz and Lamb, one of them is going to have to just go bonkers, if not both of them. But I don't like Schultz. I don't like any tight end in that range. Those are the tight ends that I'm always trying to sell if someone likes them better. So I'm going to agree with Pat there, but definitely the first few weeks, I think me and Pat are going to look silly with our CeeDee Lamb and Dalton Schultz takes here.
Yeah, look, I'm in agreement here, and I like Dalton Schultz, but there's only so much that big Stanford brain can get you. It got you a good season. This year might be nice. You know what? The time to sell, if you don't sell Schultz before this season, if he does get just an insane target share because of all of these injuries, like Shane mentioned, next year might be the time to really sell him if he has a huge year, because you know, just athletically, he is not going to be there in a couple seasons. My last one was simply to poke at Shane here. It's Brandon Cooks, because I mentioned before how much I love John Metchie, and I just wasn't buying in that much on Brandon Cooks. So this is basically poking. I just think we're going to be, I think Brandon Cooks is a little overrated. Look, in Houston, he's going to be, you know, he's going to be riding with a rough QB. I don't think Davis Mills is a long-term answer. I don't think Lovie is the long-term answer at head coach here either. So this is a franchise in whole that is kind of in flux. So he's just not my favorite player to draft. He's been traded too many times, which kind of gives you questions as a teammate. But his fantasy production has been solid. So I'm waiting for him to fall so I can say I told you so. Probably not going to be this year. Nico Collins is your number two. John Metchie, who we thought we were going to get at some point, obviously dealing with leukemia, very, very sad. But, you know, there's so many wide receivers coming out in this draft. And in, you just look at every wide receiver class, they get better and better every year in terms of depth. I feel like, you know, there's not always a Jamar Chase or a CeeDee Lamb or Justin Jefferson at the very top, but the depth of a lot of these wide receiver classes just keep getting better. He's turning 30 this season. I just think he's going to be on the downslope. And right now, today, is the time to sell high. So, Shane, we'll start with you since I did this one to poke at you here. So tell me why I'm wrong on Brandon Cooks falling off.
I absolutely hate this one. Brandon Cooks has been no worse than a wide receiver too in 7 of his 8 seasons. And yes, he does get traded a lot. He does keep producing. And part of my problem with him is that no one wants to trade for him. Like, he's not a player that he feels like Robert Woods. Like, he's almost the same type of player. Robert Woods was a little higher upside when he was in LA. But no one, every year people are like, Brandon Cooks, I don't want him. And you're like, all right, but he's a wide
receiver. This might be league specific for leagues with Shane. So
just every year. Look, I'm in way too many leagues, so I get a little bit of a pulse. No one ever wants to buy him, and you can always get him cheap. And it seems like every season, in season, you can get him for a random rookie second. And, you know, look, he's not going to give you a bunch of wide receiver 1 weeks, but he's going to give you a wide receiver 2 weeks just about every week he's out there. So I like him that even with a bad quarterback, I'm one of those people that believes you earn targets. And if it's even from a bad quarterback like Davis Mills, if you're hitting a 27% target share, you're probably going to be okay. I think last year's probably the floor we saw with Mills. And like you said, they don't have Mechie, who would have been some competition for targets this year, would have been legitimate competition. I don't know who's there now. Nico Collins?
Nico Collins is the number two right now. Good in camp, and he's a size guy, though. He's not.
So Brandon Cooks is going to still put up a wide receiver 18 season next year. You're never going to be able to trade him anything more than a second, a rookie second. Now, if you could trade him for, say, Leonard Fournette, because, you know, you're trying to build your roster, you built your roster in a way that you need a running back and you're flush at wide receiver, I'd like that. I'd like to pivot to another position if I could, in a similar range.
I'm just glad that I got Shane to say who he might trade Brandon Cooks for. So, because with my John Mechie love on the last show, Shane was very offended that I just rolled over Brandon. Like, where's Brandon Cooks going, though? You know, so I love it. Fitzy, is it the same? Do you have the same thoughts as Shane? Like, you would want to trade him, but it's just nobody wants him. He's not a sexy player, so it's hard to trade a guy that doesn't have a little bit of sex appeal. There's just not a lot of upside on Brandon Cooks because of this offense, right?
That's exactly it. That's why he's a hold for me, and you just can't sell him for that much. And yet, the guy just keeps maintaining his value. You know, I use that car, drive it off the lot analogy. Like, Cooks is the car that just, you know, you can drive for, like, my wife's Toyota that she's had for, like, 200,000 some miles. And it just keeps going. So maybe Cooks is going to be like that. You just kind of ride it until, you know, starts falling off. And exactly.
Yeah, I understand that. So this is more of a fun one. I just want to see what Shane's reaction was to Brandon Cooks. But I also would trade him. I do think he's going to be moving down after this season. But you can find him on the Twitter at Shane is the worst. Shane, what is coming up for you? Tell everyone where they can find all your great work and what you'll be doing leading up to the start of the season here.
Writing, podcasting, YouTubing. Just go to my Twitter. I got links to everything I'm on. I didn't mention Fantasy Intervention on Wednesday nights with my buddy Jacob and Chase. Jacob, who was just on Pat's show not that long ago. Chase, who was just on your show, I believe, 2 weeks ago, if I'm keeping all my pods in order. So don't forget to check us out Wednesday nights live and follow me everywhere else, and I do a bunch of stuff.
Great sell. At Fitz _FF on the Twitter machine for Fitzy. Fitzy, what do you got coming up outside of the Fantasy Football Expo that I'm jealous I will not?
That's it. Yeah, I mean, we've been working so hard cranking out content in August, such an insanely busy month. So it's going to be great to get away and drink beer with Shane and, you know, watch people play flag football and sprain quads and pull hamstrings and everything. So
you're going to coach? You're going to drop some plays on the
sideline? Oh, yeah, that's it. I'm just going to sit in the bleachers and, hope that no one seriously injures themselves.
Yeah. Follow me on Twitter at Bogman Sports. Of course, I'm doing all the work here. Joe and I will be starting our IDP podcast like right before the season starts. That will be available for everyone to listen to. Like I said, Thor and I will be starting our college football show for betting pros right around the same time, right before the college football season starts. You can, of course, find all my work over at Bogman Sports on Twitter and at InThisLeague.com is my Patreon with the Welsh, where we had Joe Pizzapia and Andrew Erickson on this week to talk a lot about training camp stuff. So that was a lot of fun, but just check me out on Twitter, and that is going to wrap it up for us today. We will see you guys next week. Take it easy, everybody.
Thanks for listening to the Fantasy Pros Dynasty Football Podcast. Follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Fantasy Pros, and subscribe to our YouTube channel at youtube.com/fantasypros.
Asking the right questions can greatly impact your future, especially when it comes to your finances. So if you're looking for a financial advisor you can trust, certified financial planner professionals are committed to acting in your best interest. That's why it's got to be a CFP. Find your CFP professional at letsmakeaplan.org.
Hey guys, back at the playground again, huh?
Yep. You know what this playground could use? A wine country.
Heck yeah, and some waves so we could go surfing.
Oh, yeah. Ah, love that.
A redwood forest would be cool.
I'm in. Ah, ski slopes.
Let's do it.
Tanner girl, go shopping.
Yeah, baby!
Wait!
Did we just invent California?
Discover why California is the ultimate playground at visitcalifornia.com.
Refinancing your car at Kemba Financial Credit Union can get you quick access to cash to help manage high-rate debts and expenses. Get up to $500 next day cash back, plus no payments for 90 days, and take cash equity out. Make your car work for you and drive away with extra cash. Apply at Kemba.org. Restrictions apply. Offer ends April 30th, 2024. Federally insured by NCUA.